right. There we go. Okay, this is another podcast. We're in, where are we today? We're in Hathersage at the deli. And we've got Becky Lynn with us. So it's me and Becky today. Off we go then.
Okay. Oh, hello. My name's Becky. I run a business based in Baslow, which I call Triumph in Life. I set the business up probably about 5 years ago now, and it was off the back of a career as a professional middle distance athlete. And I felt that I'd learned so much as an athlete that I wanted to try and use to help other people to lead a healthier life. So that's my mission, if you like, to try and help as many people as I can to lead a healthier life. So I'm based mainly out of the sports field there, and I do...
Sports field in?
In Baslow, sorry.
Baslow.
Yeah,
right,
Baslow,
okay.
Sports field, yeah.
Is that part of the school?
No, it's not. It's just down the road from the school. So I do an after-school club whereby I walk the children down, and you know, it's very sort of close by. But
okay.
It's a community facility, really. It's run by a really lovely committee, and they're just really passionate about trying to increase, you know, the participation levels, and get people healthier. So
did you fit in with them, or did they follow you?
So the way I originally got involved there, because just initially, actually, when I stopped my athletics career, I started to go down the personal training route at Chatsworth Gym. And then in moving to the village, like the chairman of the sports field knew that I did a bit of work with kids coaching, and he asked me if I wanted to do perhaps a children's holiday camp there just over the summer months, because they were sort of struggling a bit financially, and they were just trying to find, you know, diversify a little bit and make use of the facilities. So it was one of those quite sort of timely opportunities, because as a personal trainer things go a bit quieter over the summer, and so I was like, okay, I'll give this a go. And the more I kind of worked with the sports field, the more I just really felt that it aligned a lot better with what I wanted to try and achieve.
Right.
As much as I did enjoy the personal training, and there's definitely merit in that, you know, it can really help people. I'm not saying that it that's bad and what I do is good now, but it's like, I just, as I say, because I want to help as many people as possible, I just thought the group dynamic was what I was after more so.
But you felt more comfortable in that? I mean, young kids are great fun to work with.
Yeah. I would just sort of caveat that and say, in small doses.
Oh, right, okay.
No, do you know what? I do. I absolutely love working with kids. I have utter admiration for teachers who have to do it day in, day out, because it is very tiring. You know, it's very rewarding as well, but I am very pleased to have variety in what I do. So yeah, I do a mixture of children's sports, children's holiday camps, but then I also do, at the other end of the spectrum, sort of, you know, adult sports. What I'm really trying to, well, I've got quite a few things I'm trying to develop, as you always do as a businesswoman. but one of the initiatives that I'm working on at the moment, I've called it a teen movement. So it's,
say that slowly.
Yeah, so instead of just teen movement, which I kind of feel is sort of saying, you know, we've got to try and get teens more active, get them moving.
Oh, teens, sorry.
Yeah,
right.
So teenagers.
Teens, right, okay, yeah.
But the more I sort of like try and figure out the conundrum of trying to help people to become more healthy, that I realise it really has to come from that person, and it has to be incentivised as well. Not all the time, like sometimes people are quite self-motivated, but you know, a lot of the target markets now for, you could call it a market for trying to get people more active, you know, the sort of the ones that have highlighted that there's a real need for it, is it tends to be, well, teenagers that comes really, really highly up on that list. So yeah, I have worked with teenagers sporadically and on and off, you know, they might have come to some of my like evening groups that are more for older people, but also in them helping out at my holiday camps, and I do sort of see that they are a bit of an untapped resource in terms of using them to try and help others to become healthy as well. So
acting like a sort of mentory type thing, do you mean, or do you mean just
well,
by example?
Yeah, well, a mixture, really. Like, yeah. And so I was talking about incentives. And so I'm still trying to get into schools at the moment. It's always a nightmare trying to sort of actually get to talk to people there. But yeah, in terms of incentivizing them, it's like they can do the sports and they can fulfill the requirements for, say, Duke of Edinburgh, school sports leaders, that kind of thing. So that's the sort of the participant level. Then you've got the middle one, if you like, which is where they then volunteer and they help to run the session. And that's when they sort of start, if they sort of have a real particular interest in sport, I would say, you know, if they do it sort of doing it at A level, or they can see themselves wanting to become a coach or a PE teacher down the line.
Yeah.
So they do voluntary hours and then they can amass what I term like credit to then, I will then pay for them to do a coaching course eventually once they've amassed enough credit. And then the final tier is where they're like a trainee coach, and that's when they're doing the course. And as part of the course, they have to do like a logbook to show that they've done the right amount of coaching hours. So, so alongside all those sorts of incentives, I have sort of some criteria that I ask that they fulfil in terms of helping me to promote the events and the sessions. And I say as well, if when they are coming to the sessions, if they bring a member of their family, then they can amass credit more quickly in order to do the
it sounds like courses. Chocolate.
Yeah. Well, as I say, like,
what are these points?
Actually, and it's not, I even just sort of say, if you volunteer at a session, that's £15 toward the coaching course. If you bring a family member along, it's an extra £5 towards the coaching course.
So it has got financial implications.
Yeah.
They can see that.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So I'm not actually paying them that money. No. But then down the line, it does lead to paid work as well. Like I have about four teenagers working for me at the moment that I'm paying. Yeah. And then during the holiday camps as well, that number kind of goes up to 10 or okay. So, you know, and because, you know, I was sort of saying how it is so tiring working with children. Like, I think because I was sort of doing it and I was having to do everything else as well on the holiday camps initially. And, you know, it was all consuming, like literally didn't stop all day. Whereas if you get sort of young people along who still have a real sort of sense of fun and energy about them. I mean, yeah, I often sort of like ask them like for feedback and ideas as well.
Yes.
Because as I say, like, they're sort of there working for me and they're like, I can't believe I'm getting paid for this. This is like fun. And I'm like, oh no, feel free. You know, this is like,
off you go.
No. Right, okay. You know, I don't just let them run loose. I'm always there. But, you know, in terms of mentoring, I see that's sort of more my role now. I don't think the teens are quite there in terms of mentoring, but they can definitely be a source for good in terms of encouraging other people to get active. So the way that I've called it a teen movement, I think what I'm trying to say there is that it's a movement that's like driven by teenagers to try and help other people to become more healthy.
I'm going to be pedantic. Say that really, what, a teen?
So,
what does it sound like?
So,
I can see it.
You know, like a movement where you're trying to like bring about change.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So, as I say, maybe I need to change the name actually.
Okay.
But it's
I'm stupid, yeah. So go on then.
No,
how are you spelling it?
So the word a, yeah, and then teen movement.
Because teen movement.
And initially I called it teen movement, but then I sort of like thought, well, that sounds a bit like me telling teens that they need to move more. Whereas what I want it to be, the teenagers that, like, in fact, one of the slides I've put together on my PowerPoint to try and persuade them to take part is, I've got a picture of Greta, the Norwegian girl. Because the power that, like, youngsters, they have.
Huge,
exactly. And I think as well, you know, if like parents and things can see that them doing sport is also benefiting their teenagers, you know, it just becomes a really like positive, like,
this is a win-win.
Yeah,
win.
Yeah, definitely. And I already do have some parents and teenagers that do exercise together, and the school that I was working in a bit last year, that I was speaking to the head teacher at one point, and he said, and it sticks with me, the great thing about sport is it breaks down barriers.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of quite dysfunctional relationships, I think, between teenagers and parents, and yet you see them playing together, having fun, and like letting off a lot of that, you know, there's a lot of steam, a lot of angst, and like afterwards, you just connect like so much better. So a win-win again.
Well, it's one of those things, because I think, you know, the sort of the Zulon originally was working with schools, and the idea of lesson plans, getting PE's sort of, you know, the mandatory thing, and they always perform better if they're fitter.
Yeah.
That's, but you know, kind of one of those things that was, when you tell people, say, yeah, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, well, actually, we've proved it.
You know?
But it's one of those things, but nonetheless, it doesn't necessarily spark what you think would be, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, but those thousands, in fact, the majority don't. So your little idea, big idea, I mean, you know, this is back to Greta, that, you know, how do you, it's a bit like a sort of, you know, a wild horse, isn't it? If you let it out, or you know, the horse is bolted type thing, it just goes anywhere and everywhere. But that one about health and fitness is an interesting one, because I'm interested in what makes people want to be fitter.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking they have to be fitter.
Okay.
So it becomes a habit quite early days. So just when you say your school clubs, what age are we talking about?
Spectrum. Yeah. Well, summer camps are for 4 to 14-year-olds.
Four?
Yeah.
So they're 4-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Yeah. We do kind of partition them off a little bit within that, you know, so that they're working with children similar age to them. But as they sort of start to get older, we start to give them a bit more responsibility.
So when do the teens... I still haven't got used to that term. I don't know why it doesn't a teenager. Well, you know, your teenage volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Do they work with 4-year-olds? Or is it parents coming along? I mean, I can't imagine a 4-year-old turning up on his own.
Yeah. I always have like my core coaches who are qualified, you know, DBS checked.
Okay.
Oh yeah, so it's not like it's like just sort of a youth club. Yeah. No, whether it's me or whether it's other, you know, experienced,
right, so that's what
ticked coaches,
yeah, gotcha.
yeah.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, underneath that there's the layer of coaches that they still get paid. And then actually underneath that as well, as a sort of a transition, I've got what I call, instead of teens, it's tweens.
you're really trying to confuse me here.
What's a tween? So tween is where they're not old enough for me to be able to pay them, because they still are, they have to count in my childcare ratios, so they're sort of between 11 and 14. After they're 14, you know, they're of babysitting age, and therefore, you know, I don't have to account for them. So I can't pay them, but I will definitely, this is what I say, like, children are such a sort of a creative source, and you know, they know what other kids like as well. So I feel very much more like, you know, and they really spark off the responsibility that I give them, and the respect that I give them as well, actually,
right.
You know.
So they're responding to that.
Yeah. The last thing that the 11 to 14-year-olds want is to be told what to do, really. They're much more like, oh, I know what I like to do now. Whereas if you can kind of give them a sense that they're helping, and you know, that they're really contributing, then they definitely respond well to that. And then I often dangle the carrot and say, oh, you know, I'll definitely employ you one day on my camp. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah.
So this is a model which you're doing in Baslow, which is Baslow is Derbyshire, isn't it?
Yes.
I should know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So near Chatsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've done stuff in Chatsworth. I know that.
Yes.
Using the, I mean, I'm thinking backdrops, and sort of how people, you know, what represents your business, for example, something that sort of you can hang your hat on.
Yeah.
So are you thinking this model could be moved to? We sat in Hathersage today, which is North Derbyshire, I guess, not very far away, but. But I'm guessing there's not much movement between your kids in the Baslow area, Chatsworth. I think a lot of people know Chatsworth rather than Baslow. Could you reproduce it here with your teenage volunteer? something like that, or you know, a coach that would take it on, and then
there's all sorts of possibilities. Right. I've had a few requests that I do my holiday camp model other places, yes, as well, because we don't just do sport, you know. I've got like literally different programs for every single holiday of the school year that incorporates sport, crafts, healthy baking, adventure hour. You know, I've kind of done a lot of the groundwork there now, and everything is very replicable.
Yeah.
But it's just a case of getting the
resource.
Right people.
Yeah. By the sound of it, that sounds quite ambitious. Mm. What's a healthy baking?
Oh, in the program. Yeah. Oh no. Well, do you know, like. I never expect the kids to come away with masterpieces
they actually are baking.
Sometimes it's assembling as well.
Right.
So
just like healthy food. So I'm just.
Yeah.
Just make cakes.
Well, this is the thing, you see, like when I always think it's the small changes as well, it's the small things, and I have a little mantra that you know, you can always do things differently that are a bit more healthy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like different not deprived is my kind of little mantra for that. So you know, like we do bake cakes, but mm-hmm. we bake vegetable cakes. And I just, like, you know, I could sort of like get them to, because whenever you Google baking ideas for kids, it's like full of sugar, and it's like all the icing and stuff they put on top, and it's to make it look like this character or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, it's just so full of crap, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you don't have to go down that route. You can still just make a cake without the icing, or there are actually sort of healthier versions of icing that you can do.
Yes.
This is
opening up lots of different things. Mm. This is the nice thing about the appeals. I can see why a summer camp is maybe not so prescriptive. You know, we were talking about beforehand, you're not quite sure what you're putting on, but something magical or something extra appears or comes out of something. Mm-hmm. So you don't try and be too prescriptive or too guiding.
Yeah.
Allow things to sort of come out.
Sure, yeah.
Is that?
When I first started the camps, I was very tempted to often interfere, like,
yes,
with their crafts to make them better, because, like, they just went
very good. They looked rubbish.
Yeah. But I just thought, you know what, they're enjoying themselves.
Yep.
And, like, yeah, and as well, if you try and help every single kid there to make their picture better, like, you're only going to annoy them, and actually it's just extra work for you as well.
Yeah.
So just like... Yeah, it is definitely getting that balance though between sort of guiding them and not being too prescriptive.
Yeah.
And just sort of, you know, really giving them a safe space in which they can explore a little bit, but you know, like with that safety blanket or safety net there. So like for example with Adventure Hour, we sometimes go tree climbing. I have to get the sort of parents to sign that they're okay.
They can fall out of a tree.
But honestly, I've never had a parent say no. They're like, yes, get them outside, get them, like, you know, pushing their comfort zones, and it's so lovely just to kind of, and it doesn't take much often, you know, just to give them that little bit of extra confidence, and it can really like have quite an impact on them, I think.
It's you know, kind of a bit like what I was saying before, it's bleedingly obvious type thing, isn't it?
Mm.
You go out and exercise, why not climb a tree? You don't have to have health and safety. I mean, you're aware of it, obviously, as are the parents, you know, but the kids are given that the leash is lengthened a little bit, or whatever it is, allow them to do it.
Yeah.
And they'll flourish. They get the confidence and all everything else. You know, there's so many things that would benefit from that.
Yeah.
So... are you getting to the people that it really matters? Sorry, I thought I'd lob that one in.
Yeah.
I mean, as you've probably gathered, I have a history in all this. In terms of,
yeah.
So are you getting to the, you know, you live in a nice place in Derbyshire.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting to the people? Go on, I'll leave you with it.
Yeah. Do you know what? In all honesty, probably not.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like I'm doing what I can with what I've got where I am.
Right.
And that's always another sort of mantra that I've had, particularly when I was an athlete as well. And there's a quote that I often think of as well, which was by Mother Teresa, and she was once asked, what's the best thing that I can do to help bring about world peace? And she said, to go home and love your family.
Okay.
And so I sort of think, right, well, I'm starting with where I am. There is still a need, like, to try and help, to encourage people to become more healthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, over time, I think I have hopefully helped people. But, yeah, you know, and I am doing other things to try and help disadvantaged people by doing what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and,
which
is not necessarily always directly, like, but so the money that I'm making from my holiday camps, from my running groups particularly, well, for the running groups I donate 10% of all my takings to three African charities that are set up by athletes that I met. So, okay. You know,
am I thinking Kenya here?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two are in Kenya, one's in Uganda.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of people who need it most, like,
yes.
When I think of people in need, that's who I think of, you know. And I know there's sort of scope to try and help other people as well in this country, mm. and just to give them a bit more opportunity, but also confidence and
yeah.
self-esteem and self-efficacy to actually do what they need to do. I think in many ways that is what's lacking. It's not the knowledge.
No.
Right. It's that actually they've got to just feel
yeah.
like what they're going to do is going to make a difference and that they can actually do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, in fact, my logo... So I keep going off on little tangents here, but
nice.
My logo...
tangents is good.
Yeah, it's hard to describe it on a podcast. But,
go on. How do you describe a logo on a podcast?
Yeah.
Go on then.
So, okay, right, I'll do my best. It's a triangle.
Yep.
Which is split into three triangles within that triangle.
Okay.
So if you imagine that it draws a Y shape from the top two corners, it's a triangle which is sort of upside down. So it's a Y going from the top two corners into the middle of the triangle, and then from the bottom point of the triangle up. So it draws a Y.
Yep. Okay.
So you've got three triangle segments within the triangle.
Yep.
So I think of those as the three key areas of health. So you've got physical, nutritional, and mental. So my aim in trying to help as many people to live a healthier life is to help to clear up some of the confusion around those areas.
Yeah.
But that is the easy bit, because it's not rocket science. You know, like you say, people know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
The most important point of the logo is the Y in the middle, that Y. So my slogan is Triumph with a Y. So it's because it's Triumph spelt with a Y.
Yes.
But it's Triumph with a reason why. So, And it's the stronger that you can get that why in the middle,
mm-hmm.
the reason for you to do something, is the important thing. So it's getting that sense of self-worth, as I said. I suppose a sense of certainty as well about what you need to do in each
yeah.
of those areas.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
in
yeah.
case
which
people...
combines into a why.
Mm, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, just to sort of to really just empower people, because if you're going to get any change in anybody, it has to come from them. I'm all for giving people a leg up and for helping
mm.
them.
Yeah.
This is what kind of put me off personal training a little bit, because you come at a crutch for people.
Of course, yeah, I know what you mean.
And I just felt a little bit like I'm actually doing you a bit of a disservice here, you know, it's so much more powerful if it comes from you, and yeah.
You know, we were talking about habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know that idea of instilling a habit?
Yeah.
If you're if you catch them at four,
mm-hmm.
that's a lifelong one.
Yeah.
That's kind of said, you know, they just don't know any better
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Yeah.
But if you're doing your, I'm thinking why, as in question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Probably looking at me with my crystal look, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying on more on the fact that having accomplished the three corners,
yeah,
you can answer why.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're trying to say?
If
I asked you mm-hmm. why,
yeah,
as opposed to me thinking, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
That's a very, very big difference. Do you see what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah. It does work on a few different levels. So it's
right.
the understanding why you're doing something.
Yes. Okay.
But it's also that deeper reason why from within. And because I did actually, because I am healthy and I do sort of look after my body, and I sort of think, well why do I do it? You know, and why maybe other people don't? And I was like, well, because I want to look after myself, you know,
yeah.
because I sort of, you know, I care for myself,
yeah,
in a way. Yeah.
Why not? Mm. I mean, everybody in a sense, if you don't feel happy in yourself,
yeah.
then you're not going to radiate all that uh-huh. happiness or health or whatever
yeah.
it might be. Again, acting is the thing. It sounds a bit psychological, this.
Mm. Oh, gosh,
I'm,
yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, we don't know each other very well, but mm. nonetheless, you know, there's a common link is health and well-being
mm.
and fitness, and
yeah.
we've spoken about running and so on.
Yeah.
I've always been a very... I used to do a lot of sailing,
mm-hmm.
which is a cerebral type of sport.
Right.
But it was one of those occasions where the fitter you were, the faster you went.
Mm.
But you were using mechanics like a boat or something, or pulling strings and things.
Right.
It's not like running. When you get fitter you go, the faster you go. It's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
But the fitter I was in a boat, for example, the faster I went,
mm-hmm.
which meant we ran races, you know, we won things. But we were very early days in terms of team psychology.
Okay.
Getting, you know,
mm-hmm.
mentors and, you know, the yachting, the RYA, for example, provided coaches
right.
who got into this idea of mental coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now you, I just want to touch on this quietly about when you were an athlete,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you were embraced by the Team GB type thing,
mm-hmm.
and they had psychologists and everything else. Now you're umming and ahhing on
yeah.
that. Exactly, well, that's one of
uh-huh.
my points is.
Okay.
Just. So are you kind of learning from that experience and then morphing it into something which you feel is more relevant to the non, you know, somebody who's not aspiring to be an international athlete, for example?
Mm, yeah.
So.
So the things that I learned as an athlete.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
yeah.
can see you were numbing an eye when I was suggesting
yeah.
it. Well, what you've told me so far sounds like a psychological type of
yeah,
approach.
Yeah. Uh huh.
But I would imagine that kind of puts people off in a funny way.
Okay. Yeah.
You weren't waiting for that one. Go on.
No, no,
off
no.
you go.
Yeah. right. Where do I sort of go with this? So. Can we pause? Am I joking? No. So yeah. No. Because there's various things you were saying that I was picking up on. So using what I learned as. An athlete then to and adapting it to,
yep.
to sort of the general public. But actually, do you know what, another mantra of mine is that we're all human, and
mm-hmm.
you might sort of think that the athletes are superhuman, but they're really not, you know, like we can yeah. So there are definitely things that I learned as an athlete through realizing that, you know, I am only human, like that I can then sort of use to help other people now.
Right.
So sorry, I'm not really making much sense here now, am I? But, you know,
no,
I'll often talk to other runners who love running, and, you know, they're sort of like 50 minute 10k runners, but when they get injured, they go through all the same emotions that I was going through when I was injured, you know, as an athlete, like
okay.
at a high level.
Yep.
So I don't even feel like I have to adapt what I'm saying too much to people,
right.
But because I suppose I have studied it, and I maybe have been at a real sharp end of like performance, that maybe there is stuff that I can sort of say to tell people,
mm.
but it applies to elite athletes as much as it does to the general public. And so I have actually created a well-being model. Which is something that I'm really, it's actually, you know, as I say, I'm always working on quite a few different projects. I've got the teen movement thing, but I'm really keen now to get into schools and businesses to talk to them about this well-being model, which again, it the aim of it really is to empower them to then do things, like, because they come from a place of greater understanding. So yeah, it's stuff that I've read. I've studied a lot of psychologists. I know I sort of was a bit like, as I was part of the GB setup, you sort of assume that I had a psychologist there, which I didn't. I think they are starting to use that a bit more now.
You
but
didn't?
Just it was just through my own reading and going to,
so
like,
they didn't offer that to you then as a...
Right, I probably had about 2 sessions with a psychologist over a 10-year period as an athlete, because it wasn't the area that they focused on.
No.
And actually, I wasn't too impressed with what I did with the psychologist.
Yes. Okay.
As well.
Well, I'm sure it doesn't suit everybody.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah.
It might only suit very few.
Yeah. No, that's it. And you know, it's sort of, it's horses for courses in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to really feel like you're on a wavelength with the team that you've got around you. Yeah. So again, you know, that's another reason why, like, you can just sort of feed people the tidbits, and then they can, am I allowed to swear?
You can, like, swear as much as you want.
So there's the saying, the good shit sticks.
Yeah.
So, you know, some things might resonate with them, and then people can then go off and use them,
okay.
Because that's, at their stage of development, that's what they need to know and need to learn and things. So, so as I say, it's the well-being side of my business that I'm wanting to develop.
So
but tied in quite closely to that is the running technique workshops that I've developed as well.
I've meant to have done that, shouldn't I, at one stage?
Well, you
volunteered, didn't you? And I haven't never picked day off on that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple coming up, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to remind me.
We can talk afterwards if you like. Just in terms of knowing now how to get the best out of yourself, like, there's so many paradoxes, I think, in life, and like, you sort of might assume that it's being, like, really strict with yourself and really, like, beating yourself up all the time, and, you know, no pain, no gain, and like, actually, having worked alongside a lot of really top athletes and actually seeing their mental approach and things, particularly, I mean, I used to train out in Kenya, as you alluded to earlier, and I trained with 2 world 800 meter champions, Eunice Sum and Janeth Jepkoski, and we were sat in the minibus on the way back from a session once. They kindly allowed me to train with them one winter.
They didn't leave you out in the outback.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of another story about how that came about. But, I was really sort of disheartened because my calf had started hurting again, and I was just a bit like, what do I have to do? It's like, you know, I'm trying my best, I'm sort of like trying to train in the very best environment with the best setup, with the best knowledge, and I'm still getting these problems. And I was just like, head down. And she just sort of put her hand on top of mine on my leg and just said, Hakuna Matata, which they do actually say that. That's like, you know, off The Lion King. And
that's lost on me.
Oh, okay.
Right, sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
It's
so
out of The Lion King. Yeah, right. What does it mean?
It means no worries. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Really chill.
Yeah.
Oh, God, right. Well,
yeah.
You're talking to the wrong person. I've never seen The Lion King.
Yeah.
But anyway, right.
As I say, they do have a much, like, paradoxically, they do have a much more laid back approach to things.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's a huge paradox, but it's something that I've come to really learn and really try to, like, absorb and embody myself. I'm not always successful. It's always
there are no worries. And why, you know, don't make it a big issue.
That's it. Just to really lighten up. And so, you know, the running technique model that I've developed, it's like a 5-stage thing, which is, like, with a view to helping people to move more efficiently and effectively as we're designed to move.
Mm-hmm.
And what the components spell out is grace, so to move gracefully, and it's to grow tall, I'm giving it away here now. You're supposed to come to my workshop to get all this information.
People will listen to this and say, yeah, I want to come to that workshop.
Well, you know what, they still can. Okay, right. Yeah, yeah. So,
okay. So G for grace.
For growth. Yeah, so right, it spells out grace. So G for grow, R for rhythm, because people often don't run with a quick enough cadence, and they break all of the elastic energy that is available, right, if you're lighter and sort of peppier.
I'm smiling here because yeah, you get older, that elasticity disappears. So
yeah, I mean, there's things that you can do to still keep in touch with
so
it.
So rhythm.
But yeah, okay. So rhythm. A for alignment. That's just sort of so you can therefore use gravity more effectively when you run. C for circle, which is like that you've got to have a sense that your legs are like a wheel underneath you.
Okay.
And then right. E, you know, sort of talking about being more lighthearted, is, in fact, could you guess what E might stand for?
I'm going to say entertainment, but that's a terrible...
Oh, well, nearly. That's quite close.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to go energy, but no, I'll go entertainment.
It's enjoy.
Enjoy.
And to really not lose sight of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, like, I had another epiphany that you can...
Is that my phone?
No, it's not mine, yeah.
Oh, right, so okay. That'll go on there. Oh, okay.
Oh, you can't get the stuff these days. <don't you?
laughs> Go on then, right.
But yeah, but those components of the model, they can really be transferred over to everyday life as well. So it's like learning in any situation that comes up that might cause you a bit of discomfort, that you can grow from it. Rhythm represents not giving up, keeping going. Alignment, living in alignment with your values. So, like, okay, you know, there's a lovely saying as well, integrity is everything. The circle bit is more about karma. What goes around comes around, and then E is still enjoyment.
So
C, well,
karma begins with the C, don't
Well, it's like the circle, is karma.
So I like the idea of, you're painting a picture.
Mm.
You know, grace is an obvious one.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
Uh-huh.
So obviously I got my own picture on that, you know, which wouldn't necessarily, what I'm getting is what you would imagine, but you are, it's that instilling that seed.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. So the entertainment bit, although, what did you say? Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking entertainment. It's often lost in this process of being fit and healthy because people worry or they get anxious or wound up.
Or compare themselves.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite conscious we've been talking quite a long time now.
We'll wind up a little bit now.
But I was watching the World Championships last night.
Yeah.
Which was Saturday night. And it was the Laura Muir and 1500 metres.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever run 1500 metres?
800 was my main event, but I sometimes reluctantly was
doing 1500. You doubled the distance. Well,
I know, it was painful, but yeah, no, I did do it sometimes.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think I've ever read a... And I used to run a long time ago, but I was watching the women running, and there was a great comment about the people looking like they were within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of get this aura that if you're running with the people, and you know, so there was, and I think it's Helena Beery, is it? Who's the president's, number one.
She won the 5K a bit.
Oh, was it 5K? I might mention the 2-1.
Uh-huh. The 1500 was won by Sifan Hassan. But anyway, it was on the same night, though.
Yes, it was on the same night, yes. Because that's right, because we had the two British athletes in the 5,000.
Yeah,
that's even longer.
Yeah. Totally out of my comfort zone.
Right, okay.
But
so
no,
we're talking. But I was just, you know, this idea that we used to joke about runners. You know, you wouldn't recognise them by their face. You recognise by their gait.
Yeah.
And you can always pick them out. Mm-hmm. You know, on a horizon, on a ridge or something, and you can't see their face, and you know exactly who they are. So it's a very distinct and it's very personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're saying the grace thing. You're applying that to everybody's personal gait. So you're not trying to get everybody looking like robots.
Or
running like a robot.
And do you know what? It, as I do the workshops, I'm realising it is very hard to get people to change the way that they run.
Yes.
So what I say to them is, it's not like a panacea, like where they're going to come away and all of a sudden be running, like, I don't know, should I say Mayflower? It's a bit, yeah, bit controversial at the moment, but anyway, you know, but anyway, just running like a professional.
That's athlete. Another podcast.
I say, I'm going to teach you now, like, based on there is an optimal model for running, mm-hmm. like, you know, in terms of biomechanically how we're designed to run. So I say that I can give you some tools that you can go away and play with, and I say you'll get these little epiphanies, because I mean, it's basically, the workshop has come off the back of my career being ended due to injury, and I was like, well, I must be running wrong, like, you know, and I just studied it and experimented with it. Mm. And it wasn't through a coach telling me, it was through me, like, just working with the principles that I'd learned, that I suddenly, like, again, as I say, it was a series of different epiphanies that have resulted in me knowing now, like, how we are designed to move. And so I say, like, yeah, it's to give people more of an awareness, because they kind of think that, oh, you know, they run how we're designed to they run how they run, and that's it, like, and they can do it because it's one foot in front of the other, da da da, but actually just making them a little bit more aware of things to think of when they're running, and it can be little tweaks, and it's very individual to different people as well. As I say, the good shit sticks, like, some people, because I ask for feedback and on a Survey Monkey afterwards, and then I've asked for sort of testimonials and things like that, and sometimes they're requested, sometimes people just contact me and they'll say, like, oh, you know, just picking my rhythm up slightly, oh my gosh, you know, that's made a difference, or like, I feel much smoother now because of the circle, or a lot of the time, actually, I'm realising it's the psychological element, mm-hmm. and it's me saying, put that enjoyment there first, and then everything else, you know, falls into place, rather than sort of thinking, like, oh, you know, this is going to be a really hard run, I've got to work hard, I want a PB, and no gain. It's actually, it's just lightening up a bit. And paradoxically, through not trying as hard, you're more relaxed, you run faster. Right. So it's that's a really huge part of it that people take away, I think.
Mm. There we go. Right, on that little note, I think I'm going to use that as a sort of a winding up bit.
Yeah.
So okay.
Said all I want to say.
It's, and I'm sure you've got a lot more, as we do, but we will revisit these conversations.
Yeah,
if you want to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Becky, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Martin. Yeah, enjoyed that.
Good.